Inflation in the U.S. took the month off in October. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. On average, prices in the U.S. did not rise between September and October. Now, if you compare with a year earlier, prices were up 3.2%, but that is still a significant slowdown. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel and joins us to talk about it. Hi, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
So let's just go through these numbers first real quick. Overall inflation was zero month to month, but sometimes these inflation numbers are all, you know, gas prices moving or some other quirky thing happening in the economy. Do we have anything like that going on this time?
Well, we like to look at core inflation, so we exclude food and energy prices, which can be volatile. But even if you look at core inflation, there's a good story here. Core inflation was up 0.2% month to month, a little softer than the market expected, and a little slower than the prior month. The prior month was 0.3. This is overall a good story about the underlying inflation problem in the U.S. cooling off.
Yeah, and this slowdown in inflation is happening at a time when the economy is doing really quite well. Usually, we pay an economic price for getting inflation under control.
Almost every single time where inflation was elevated, the process to seeing lower inflation or slower inflation was higher unemployment. And right now, the unemployment rate is still below 4%, and inflation has cooled off a lot. And I think it's a great scenario for the average American.
Why is that?
Well, because you have prices cooling off, but at the same time, people are employed. So you have a very low unemployment rate. And if inflation is cooling off, then your dollars are going to go farther.
Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.
Tomorrow, President Joe Biden and China's leader Xi Jinping are scheduled to meet for the first time in a year. And today, the White House has signaled it's anticipating several agreements to come out of this meeting, including a potential breakthrough in the fight against the deadly synthetic opioid fentanyl. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
As late as last week, the White House was tamping down expectations of what might emerge from tomorrow's meeting between President Biden and China's Xi Jinping. That meeting is taking place on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in San Francisco, but the two sides are nearing a deal to curb the export of fentanyl and fentanyl-making chemicals from China. That country and Mexico are the primary sources of the drug, which has led to skyrocketing overdose deaths in American communities. According to Bloomberg, China could agree to crack down on its domestic chemical companies in exchange for the U.S. lifting restrictions on China's Police Forensics Institute, which is accused of human rights abuses in that country's Xinjiang region. Some Republicans in Congress have objected to that bargain, saying China should cooperate without preconditions. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The dating app business is not doing so well these days. Take Bumble. Its stock price started at around $70 a share when it went public in early 2021. It is now under $14. The company recently announced it's getting a new CEO. And more generally, surveys show Gen Z is less interested in app dating altogether. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looks at why online dating is falling out of favor.
When Natalie Sierra downloaded dating apps over a year ago, she was hoping to find a relationship. What she got was some confusing interactions.
I once matched with a guy on Bumble. He never answered me, and then he matched me on Hinge, and then he was like super talkative, and I was just like, dude, I just like matched you on the other app.
I talked to Sierra a couple months ago at a speed dating event in Manhattan, where several people told me they're done with dating apps. Sierra says it's harder to gauge people's intentions when you meet online. It used to be that people would go to specific apps with different intentions. Relationship seekers might go on Bumble.
And then people who were just casually looking for something would go on Tinder. But I think like now everybody goes on all the apps and they're just like, let's see what happens.
And that's why the dating app world feels super saturated. There's Bumble, Hinge, Tinder, Coffee Meets Bagel, The League, Field, Plenty of Fish. The list goes on and on. Liesl Shirabi, a professor of communication at Arizona State, says daters are overwhelmed.
For a lot of people, they've reached their burnout era. They're feeling very frustrated. They're feeling swiped out.
She says a decade ago, dating apps were, yes, stigmatized, but also a new and interesting way to meet people. But over time, users have lost trust in the industry. After all, these apps rely on people staying single.
I think a lot of these apps, you know, they've gamified dating. They've made it really fun to spend a lot of time on the apps, swiping on people, looking at your options.
To generate revenue, some apps have added paid features like subscriptions that promise better matches and super swipes that help users connect faster. Catherine Caduto, a professor of media science at Boston University, thinks in general, people are oversubscribed.
Not just online dating, but our streaming services, you know. And so I think from a business perspective, that also gets overwhelming for consumers.
Caduto says to cut through the noise and make money, dating apps need to prove their value. Because she says in her research, a lot of people use these apps passively.
That comes up in interviews all the time where people are like, I just have my friends swipe for me.
She says the friends doing the swiping are usually coupled. They think of online dating as a novelty. And that somehow the apps are going to have to find that spark with singles again. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.